Oh boy. What are we doing? It is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I'm drinking tea because that's my main duty as the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. Good tea today, too. Stormery. Oh, it's so good. I love to drink tea. I love to drink tea so much, it's just ridiculous. Oh. Okay, so here I am. As usual, sitting on my floor in front of my television, which is, of course, tuned to the channel for Turner Classic Movies. TCM. You know how much I love TCM because I love film as a genre, as a media, as a medium. And what's on? It took me a minute to realize what I was watching because I just sat down here 3 minutes ago. And guess what I'm watching? It's Anna Karenina. The Vivian Lee version. Vivian Lee. What a little hottie. What a little treasure. Oh, Count Vronsky, how charming you are. Oh, Anna Karenina. I love it and hate it at the same time. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe. So basically you're the type of guy who sits around reading old Russian literature. No. No, no, no. That doesn't mean I didn't have to read crazy stuff at some point in time. But my favorite books are books about the bad guys. Oh, I guess he just finally showed up. Oh, it's Pippa. And she, instead of doing kitty stuff, she jumped and she went into the bathroom. You gonna have a snack? Yeah, kitties need to have snacks. Oh, Count Vronsky. Oh, Count Vronsky. My favorite character. And so I'm going to flip over to the schedule. Oh, look at this. Guess what's coming up next? Anne of Green Gables. It must be Anne Day. First we have Anna Karenina, and then Anne of Green Gables. I'm going to go ahead and predict the next movie on the schedule before I look, and I'm going to say it's Anna and the King. And as he flips up, oh no, it's Little Women. Oh, we lose. Oh, Little Women. I will not be watching that because it is, of course, Katharine Hepburn, and I cannot stand Katharine Hepburn. What else is it? What's on after that? Quality Street. Oh no, another Katharine Hepburn movie. Is it Katharine Hepburn Day already? Wasn't it Katharine Hepburn Day last month? How can it be Katharine Hepburn Day again? Oh my god, and then coming up after Quality Street is Katharine Hepburn, All About Me, a self-portrait. Oh my god, and this is just one of the reasons why I cannot stand Katharine Hepburn. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, Tobe, we know too. It's because she's a bigger egomaniac than you. That's it, isn't it? Well, I guess technically speaking, yeah. Oh my god. The description of the film. The actress makes an autobiographical film covering her family, acting career, and love for Spencer Tracy. Katharine Hepburn. God, I hate her. Oh, and then after that is White Lightning with Burt Reynolds, the classic Burt Reynolds film. And then after that, The Moonshine War. So apparently it goes from Katharine Hepburn to illegal distilled alcohol. The Moonshine War. And guess who's in it? Patrick McGowan. You know, The Prisoner. You know, Longshanks from Braveheart. You know. Danger Man? Come on. I do love Patrick McGowan. who does play a revenue agent in this film. And you're not going to believe who the moonshiner is. Alan Alda. That's right. Hawkeye from MASH. So if anybody ever asks you in a trivia contest if Patrick McGowan was ever in a movie with Alan Alda, the answer is shockingly yes. Oh, and then, oh, look what's on late tonight. The Hand. Michael Caine. All right. So anyway, that'll be fun. I will not be able to watch White Lightning tonight, though. Not that I need to. I actually saw it back in the summer. I actually watched it like 2 or 3 times back this summer. I'm really into this tea. Oh, it's so good. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can feel my strength returning. I did get up a little bit earlier today. And so I'm a little bit weird, but I'm enjoying my tea. I'm also enjoying Vivien Leigh. Oh, they don't make them like that anymore, do they? No, they do not. So anyway, yeah, like I said, I'm not going to be able to watch White Lightning. And I'm probably going to miss quite a bit of The Moonshine War. Not that I really want to watch it, but I do want to look at it so I can see Patrick McGowan and say, oh, look, there's Patrick McGowan. Okay. Does this count as credit for watching a Patrick McGowan movie? And then I will turn away and I will watch something else. Because, I don't know, Alan Alda? I don't know, just, I've had enough of the guy. I don't know. It's not that I have anything against him. It's just that he can only do one shtick, and it's kind of like, yeah. Look, it's Alan Alda, a.k.a. Hawkeye Pierce. And look, he's doing Hawkeye. Oh, yeah. But like I said, I am going to miss it. Why? Because tonight, I actually have to go to the theater. I have to go watch a play. And I hear you saying to yourself, you have to? But Tobe, aren't you a theater guy? You enjoy theater. Don't you want to go to this play? Yeah, I kind of don't. Because this is a case of obligatory theater. And if you're not familiar with the concept of obligatory theater, I don't blame you. This is a term that I coined last night. Obligatory theater is the type of theater that you don't want to go to, but you have to go to. Yeah, and why do you have to go to it? Why would there be theater that you have to go to? Oh, for example, your children. If your children are in a play, you have to go see the play. If you are in school, you might have to go see a play for whatever reason. Obligatory theater, the type of theater that you have to go to. Now, if this was a children's play, either being put on by children or being produced for children, I would be very happy to go. I do like children's theater. I think it's awesome. But this is obligatory theater. This is theater of, oh, my children are in the horrible school play and I have to go see it. Or, the worst kind of obligatory theater is church theater. When your church puts on a Christmas pageant and, obligatory theater. It is a bad, bad thing. Some of you may be wondering, well, Tobe, you do not have any children. Why is this an obligatory theater outing for you this evening? Well, perhaps I should elucidate. It turns out that this play involves a couple of people I know. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, this is no surprise. You know all the theater people in your town and probably for 100 miles in radius. Yeah, well, that's true, too. However, normally I could get out of those or avoid those in some way, but no, the people involved in this play are a little bit too close to... degrees of separation. There are people involved in this show that are a little bit... I can't get out of it. Who's involved in this show? Well, the director is somebody that I know. Somebody that I do know from school. Back from my theater days in in college. And that's not that important. I could still probably get out of it. But more importantly, a woman that is in my parents' band is performing in it. I'm presumably doing them some of the music. And this would be my parents' violinist. Ugh. Oh, but my parents do not use the word violinist because in the style of music that they play, a person who plays a violin is known as a fiddler because they play the fiddle, not the violin. They play the fiddle and are therefore fiddlers, not violinists. You know, you may be wondering, as do I, why this person is not known as a fiddler. A three-syllable word meaning a person who plays a fiddle. These people are not fiddlers, they are fiddlers. Which is confusing to anybody with an IQ over 80. Because you might know as a fiddler as somebody who operates a fid. A person who uses a fid is a fiddler in my book. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, well, Tobe, what's a fid? What? You don't know? Have you never spliced a rope? What is a fid? Look it up. And while you're at it, look up Marlin Spike. This is an educational show. We will not teach you how to splice rope on the Dubious Goals Committee. Because that's something you should already know how to do. Good tea. So, I have to go to the theater tonight. What theater am I going to? I don't know. Nobody has told me. Nobody's ever even told me what the name of this play is. I've heard it referred to as the Gander Show, Gander Mountain, and just Gander, etc. So... nobody can tell me the name of the play. Nobody can tell me anything about it other than nobody can tell me where it is. I just have to go there. And I will be picked up in about 6 hours and taken to this obligatory show. I'm kind of afraid. Why am I afraid? Because this show isn't being put on by any ordinary theater troupe that I'm familiar with. This is some kind of result of some social program in which our director, personal friend of mine, has taken a group of intellectually challenged adults that are part of a intellectually challenged adult community here in Omaha, Nebraska. And they have created this play that's apparently based on some folktale. That was the only other bit of information I was given. I do not know the plot, the storyline. I do not know the title. I do not know where it's taking place. I know nothing about this other than I have to go. Is it going to be very cringy? It very well could be. But we'll go to it anyway. I should have said I couldn't go. I should have made something. So all I can tell you is, knowing the people involved, there will be some fiddle music. But that's one thing I don't understand. If there's music involved, and it's that period of music, why are my parents not in it? Why are my parents not playing the music for this show? I do not know. So anyway, I guess I won't have to put up with any old-time music. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. So that's what I'm doing tonight. I guess I'll report on it tomorrow. And you'll hear all about the show I had to go to. Yeah, it was a... So anyway. Oh. Speaking of old-time music... What was I watching last night that got me onto this? I don't know, but at some point in time, YouTube recommended a video for me. A Chet Atkins video. A Chet Atkins live playing somewhere in 1987. And at first, I thought it was that weird PBS special that he did back around that time, but as I was watching it, I realized it wasn't. But geez, I remember, when was that? Was that before or after that? I remember sometime in the mid to late 80s, Chet Atkins had a special on PBS. I remember watching it. It was great. But anyway, so I was watching some Chet Atkins. And Chet Atkins, how do I say this? He may be the greatest guitar player who ever lived. Now, I realize that might sound like blasphemy to some people, but you got to realize Chet Atkins started early and he lived a long time. So he had a very long, very varied career. He played for so many people and on so many famous tracks that it's just ridiculous. He's extraordinarily skilled. Etc., etc., etc. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Toe, but what about Jimi Hendrix? You're blaspheming. Well, no. And I will admit that Jimi Hendrix may be one of the greatest guitar players of all time, but the problem with him was he did not live very long, so he didn't get any better. You know, we have a very small amount, a very small corpus of Jimi Hendrix's work, a very small oeuvre. As such, you know, for all aroundness, there's going to be people who you have to sort of classify as being better. And Chet Atkins is one of them. Technically better, can play more genres of music, did so much stuff over such a long period of time. Yeah, don't get me wrong. On the list of top 10 greatest guitarists of all time, Jimi Hendrix is in there, and he's near the top. But you know, when it comes to just all around greatness, you look towards Chet Atkins. Don't believe me? Have reason to doubt? Think my opinion is worthless? Look it up. Look it up, you clowns. We also have to consider all of Chet Atkins' contributions to guitar and recording electronics and live electronics, live concert electronics. Oh, we're talking about the man who invented the electric tremolo, the wah-wah, various other things, possibly even multi-track recording. Oh, wait, I think that was Les Paul. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I watched this concert. I watched I watched most of it. Well, I watched half of it. It was called Chet Atkins and Friends. Who were his friends? Mark Knopfler, the Everly Brothers, and Emmylou Harris. And I stopped watching it after that. Emmylou Harris did an old-time song, and I was like, ugh. Oh, but Chet, he was crushing it on mandolin. Absolutely killing it. But the worst part of it was, first of all, it was the 80s. So it's like 1987, and so the women all had 80s hair. It was repulsive. Repulsive. And that's one of the reasons why I couldn't watch it. Plus, it was one of those things that was, it's one of those sort of variety music shows where all of the clever banter is entirely scripted. And it's so obvious, and it's so terrible. And you just want to start shooting. I declare a free fire zone. Oh, and who's this? Somebody's giving me headbutts on my back. Pippa has finally arrived.
Hi. What you doing? You want to do some kitty stuff on the banky? Of course you do, because you are the banky baby.
Okay, get in there. I said get in there. Get your kitty butt on the blanket. You need to get on the blanket. Kitties like to be on the blanket. Get on the blanket now. Get on the blanket. Get on the damn blanket. Okay, look, what part of kitty time do you not understand? Get on the blanket. There you go. Oh, just a delayed reaction from the cat. Other videos I was watching last night include more of that crazy Korean cat lady. Look for the channel Cream Heroes if you want to see. I mean, I love this chick. This woman who does lots of crazy stuff for her 7 cats. Her 7 very expensive cats, all different breeds. A lot of them look like they are probably thoroughbreds. Oh, we don't call them thoroughbreds. What do we call them, Peppa?
They're just like you, pedigreed. You're a pedigreed baby.
Yes, I have a pedigreed cat. Can you believe that? That's just one of the craziest things. Oh, it's a $6,000 cat. Yeah, but I got a kitty on sale.
Yes, you're a good baby.
So anyway, more importantly, I watched another concert last night. And I highly recommend this. You can check out some Chet Atkins if you want, because the guy is just an incredible guitar player. Very talented, very skilled, just smooth as hell and impressive. But if you need something a little bit harsher, if you need something with a little more punch to the gut, if you need something with a little bit more Fender Twin reverb... I watched the coolest concert last night. What did I see? Dick Dale at the Viper Room. Live. A mere, 4 months ago. This is a concert that was recorded in June of this year. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Dick Dale killing it. Dick Dale. 82 years old. 82-year-old man. King of the surf guitar. Oh my God, it was hilarious. Because first, he doesn't have much of a band. It's just a drummer and a bass player. And they're on stage. This woman introduces him. And you hear guitar being played off stage. Real typical Dick Dale riffs, right? And they finally haul his ass up on stage. Literally, remember... 82 years old. This is an 82-year-old man. Has to be helped up onto the stage. And he's got his strat around his neck. Oh my God. And he gets up there and he just kills it. He slays the entire room. Oh, news headlines the next day read, everyone dies in the Viper Room. Dick Dale, 82. Killed so much that there were no survivors at last night's concert. 6 waitresses and 2 bartenders were also killed. Oh my God. It was so cool, and it was so funny, because after about 2 or 3 minutes, I realized, okay, they are mostly improvising. This is unrehearsed. This is Dick Dale making stuff up as he goes along. How do I know this? Because his bass player is having a very difficult time trying to follow him. And I understand the trials and tribulations of bass players. And it's just hilarious because, you know, the drummer's doing all right. The bass player's trying to figure out what Dick Dale's going to do. And eventually, the first 30 seconds of a song, end quote, take a while to come together. Then they finally figure out what's going on, and then they just rip it. It's insane. The craziest thing I've ever seen. Dick Dale, so awesome. You have to see this. Yeah, and then about, I don't know, 5 songs into it, they take a little break to straighten something out. Oh, no. What happened was they got so far out of sync that Dick, the drummer, threw everybody else off, and they had to stop, and Dick Dale then has to explain to everybody that not only is he making crap up, they don't know what's coming. His rhythm section don't know what's coming. He doesn't announce what song he's going to play. He just starts playing whatever he feels like playing, and they have to kind of figure it out and jump in. And it was hilarious. Yeah. And after like 1 or 2 songs, they had to bring a chair on stage. It's like a high bar stool. And so Dick Dale's sitting on the stool, but he's swinging his legs around when he plays. It's really funny. He looks like a little kid. You know how you get a little kid in a chair that's a little bit too tall and the kid's leg swings? That's what it was like. But, you know, Dick Dale's also holding his guitar and just killing it. Oh, my God. How cool is Dick Dale? 82 years young, and he's still gigging at the Viper Room. And you can tell he's an old pro. There's no set list. There's no rehearsal. There's no nothing. He just calls his sidemen up and says, meet me at the Viper Room at 7 o'clock. We got to do an hour and a half. Oh my God, I wonder how much he got paid for that. 82. If he's still touring, I would bring him to town. Dick Dale. Legend. Dick Dale. National living treasure. And that's when I wish we had a national living treasure program in America, the way they'd have in Japan. Because I'm sorry, Dick Dale is very possibly America's greatest national living treasure. If you don't know who Dick Dale is, I feel sorry for you, but you have heard his music. Nobody alive today can say, oh, I've never heard any of Dick Dale. No, you have. And as soon as you listen to him, you'll go, oh, this guy. Yeah, that guy. Dick Dale. Do it right now. The show is about to end. In 2 minutes, I expect you to do a search for Dick Dale Viper Room. Find the video on YouTube. It's about 1 hour and 20 minutes long. And listen to Dick Dale, 82 years old, killing them, slaughtering the entire Viper Room. And I've gotten way too excited because I've run out of time. You have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that worships Dick Dale at 1930 UTC. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
At the third due to the time will be 20 hours 00 minutes.